look into the scripture before we pray, and our place is the Gospel of John tonight. If you would join me there in John chapter 5, we'll look at a couple of verses here or so, and maybe a couple more. This is one of those important places in scripture where it's laid out. It's important because we have two verses back to back that begin with amen, amen, or verily, verily, or truly, truly. And you have the sense that what follows here is of great importance, and indeed it is. This is John 5. Let's read verse 24 and then verse 25. And the Lord there says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." Now we're looking at another little section here which deals with this overall subject that we've been considering for almost a month now, just the Word of God, putting it simply, the Word of God. And our Lord, as he speaks here to the Jews and to those who are really hearing him, and if you are really hearing him, it's fantastically encouraging. If you're not hearing him, it's tremendously off-putting, and it says the Jews wanted to kill him. But this is how the Word of God divides men, isn't it? And we see it happening here, and I pray that as we think upon the few simple thoughts that we want to share, that maybe it would encourage our hearts. That, number one, it creates faith. The Word of Christ creates faith. Now, I put that in parentheses, or quotation marks, rather, because I wasn't sure exactly how to say this, and somewhat aware that that may not be the best way to say it. So let me see if I can walk around this a bit and try to describe what I mean. I think Paul gives us a little bit more insight into what's going on when he says this, and you need not turn there, but just write this in your memory. In Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And so what we have here is our Lord saying that as he speaks, and as Paul comes back and says, now what's going on? If he could give us a play-by-play commentary, he'd say, all right, now what's happening here in this heart and that heart is God is opening the spiritual ear, and there is a kind of hearing going on. Faith comes by hearing. Ah, and all that he says suddenly becomes believable, conceivable. We grasp hold of it like a drowning man grasps for a rope, and we lay hold of this truth, and we believe it. And as we hear these things, what? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so we hear, we grasp, we believe. Now, yet we have, right above where we read in Romans, Paul, speaking of the Jews, says, now, however, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Have you ever just listened to Isaiah being read, or actually read it out loud yourself, and then been struck by the majesty of it, the glory of it, the eloquence of it, the loftiness of it? I'll never forget when they had that service in 2001 there at the National Cathedral, and they trotted up a bunch of men to speak, and one of them was this imam, and he read some blather from the Quran. It was just nonsense. And then some Jewish rabbi got up, and I don't know how much he believed it or not, but he opened up the book of Isaiah. I wish he'd had a scroll there. It'd been great. But he opens up Isaiah, and he just starts reading from Isaiah. And it's just like the whole atmosphere changed in the room. It's just this lofty, glorious thing. But then he says, and who has believed it? Who, Lord, has believed our report? Now look here in John chapter 5, verse 16. It says, the Jews here, and he's just, by the way, he has just healed a man there at the pool, and they've said, well, who is it that healed you? Because we're upset with him because he told you to carry your pallet and go home. You're not supposed to do that on the Sabbath day. Well, I don't know who he was. Well, go find out. So he goes and finds out and tells the Jews that it was Jesus. And so Jesus, in verse 14, finds in the temple and says, you become well, don't sin anymore. And the man goes away and tells the Jews it was Jesus that made him well. And then verse 16, for this reason the Jews were persecuting Jesus because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But he answered them, my Father is working until now, and I myself am working. Well, that clears it up, doesn't it? Oh, what if you just said that to begin with? Oh, I see it now. I hear that. But what do we read here? For this reason, verse 18, therefore the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but also was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Now, tell that to your Jehovah's Witness friends right there. Bring them over to John chapter 5. They'll have an argument against that, but they can't defeat that. They cannot defeat that. Anyway, Jesus says these things, but they don't believe it. So there is a hearing without hearing, of which Paul was not speaking and our Lord is not speaking. There is a hearing, though, with hearing. It's the kind of hearing that brings forth faith. And it's the words of the Son of God, and they come and they open the spiritual ears and they gladden the spiritual heart and they make the inner man leap within, like John the Baptist leaped in his mother's womb. And we believe and we possess faith that comes to us. I like the thing that we've been studying in Genesis about Abram, who hears the word of God, and as he hears, it clicks, and something happens in his spirit, and he believes the Lord. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. No wonder your reading, your personal devotion is so come against, and your own personal times in the scriptures so moved against by this world, by the God of this world, by the press of activity, by the whatever. But just remember this, that hearing is this blessed thing that makes faith to grow. And it grants life, secondly. Look at verse 24, the middle part of that. He's just said, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me, he has eternal life. I love this, that eternal life, though it awaits us in the glory, in this fullness, it has begun actually right now. And the man or the woman in Christ is a possessor of something that is invaluable, which is not just life. It's not just that your lungs breathe and move and your heart beats, but you actually have life, the life of Christ within you, the eternal life that God has given through his Son. And so he says in verse 25, I say to you, an hour is coming, and he's looking off, isn't he? But then he says, and it now is, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Will live. I think to illustrate the point, you have these little stories, little. Well, they're not elaborated on much, but there they are. The story of Jairus coming to Jesus and saying, come, come, lay your hand upon my little daughter. She's at the point of death. And of course, on the way there, she slips off, and by the time they get to the house, all the professional mourners, aren't you glad we don't do that? But the professional mourners are there, and they're wailing, and they're whatever they do. And Christ puts them all out after saying she's not dead. And it's important, the next thing, it's insulting, but it's important, and they begin to laugh at him, knowing that she is dead, in fact. as they put them all aside, except for, who was it, the parents and James and John and Peter. And they go into the room, and there lies the corpse, and Jesus speaks to the girl and says to her, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Now, only the Son of God can speak to a corpse and say, "Get up," and the corpse then rise. Only our Lord, and it says, her spirit returned. He has authority, as he says, in heaven and on earth. And the spirit had to come back because Jesus said, "Little girl, I'm telling you, get up." And so the spirit returns, and the girl rises up, and they're completely astounded, the scripture says. And it's just a picture of what? Of this. "He who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, and the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." I tell you, this is a verse, verse 24 and verse 25, actually together, but particularly verse 25. Pray this. Pray this for your friends. Pray it for your family. Pray it for your children. Pray it for our meetings. Pray it this way, that God would give hearing to the dead, and the dead would hear the voice of the Son of God, and they would come to life. And I'm not speaking of literal death now. I'm speaking of in our assemblies when there are all kinds of, there's sheep and there's goats, there's tares and there's wheat. There's a mixture of life and death. But Jesus would speak to the death, and one by one he would call them forth, and there would be life. That is something to pray about, isn't it? Lord, give them hearing. Give them hearing ears. Give them believing hearts. Call them by name. Speak to them. Let them come forth. Because when a man hears the command of Christ to live, just like, what's his name? In John chapter 11? Just like Lazarus. He must come forth, even if he's all bound up from head to toe. Lastly, before we pray, this might encourage a heart or two. The word of Christ, as we hear it, as we believe it, as life comes into us, what else does it do? It cleanses us from sin and from guilt. Look at verse 24, the end of it. "He does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life." Now, this does not mean that the Christian will not be judged for the works that he's done in the body, whether good or bad. Paul's clear about this. But it does mean this: there is no condemnation in that sense of "depart from me, ye cursed, for I never knew you," is been removed. That sense of eternal judgment, that banishment from God, that exclusion from the heavenly Jerusalem, gone. And the man and the woman does what? He's passed out of death into life. And I think our Lord makes this clear enough when he says to those men in the upper room that night, he says this particularly to Peter. Peter says, "Wash me, Lord, head to toe." And he says, "He who is already clean only needs to wash his feet. You are clean because of the word that I've spoken unto you." And who has not found this to be so? That you've come into a church service, perhaps, and you go out different than when you came in. There's something cleansing about the word. Now, I know that this is speaking of the final standing before God, but I think that there is also this truth of walking with Jesus and hearing him speak, and it cleanses us. It cleanses us. It cleanses us. What a sweet thought. What a glorious thought. So as we think of what the good word of God does, here are some things for us to be grateful to God for. That it makes faith within. It grants life within. It cleanses us and takes away the guilt of sin. No one speaks like he speaks, right? Let's pray.